I thought I'd minister on healing this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn to 1 John, chapter 5. Meditating all week on the different things that we've learned about healing over the years, and then some of those things that we've learned most specifically, most recently over the last year or so, and try to do an overview as kind of a reminder, because you know, you can get complacent when it comes to healing, and you know, especially something that's ongoing, and after a while you start to make room for it. And it becomes part of your life, and you can easily accept that. And if we accepted it, then it's you know, really limited even to what God can do, because it's what's going on in our hearts that's most important that we're going to get down to. But I believe that it's God's will for every one of us to be healed and live in perfect health and life. And I'm going to keep preaching that from a wheelchair or anything else. Because I come back to what the Word says, and we're always going to come back to that, the principles of the Word. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Probably have that underlined already. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Now, I know people have come to this and say, well, that would be fine if I knew what the will of God was. But the will of God and the Word of God are the same thing. God doesn't separate His Word and His will, say one thing in His Word, and then really want something else. As far as our lives are concerned, everything is put right there in the Word of God for us. You find it in the Word, you find that then you have to take that to be the will of God. And it's vital that we get a hold of the fact, the truth, as far as what God's will is concerned, particularly about healing, because, well, I've read so much by Kenneth Hagin over the years, and all those years of ministry, he said, the number one thing that had hindered people from receiving healing from God was not being sure about whether it's God's will for them to be healed or not. So, you know, you've got to settle that in yourself sometime or the other. I can't settle that for you. I had to settle that for myself. Amen? Now, I know you can think about, well, what about this and what about that, and this good person suffered that. And there's a lot of things I don't understand, but, you know, either it's truth or it's not. And if it's truth, then we got to come back to that and say that, then I'm going to get myself lined up with that, and I'm going to receive that, and I'm going to know that when I ask for healing, I'm going to receive healing because it is God's will that I be healed. Amen? I was thinking before I came up here this morning, think about the money that's being spent right now in our country. Let's just take our country in this area, trying to be healthy, trying to get healed, trying to get help. It's probably beyond trillions. It's who knows how much, and being taken advantage of, and people are trying the strangest things and everything else. You know, people try anything, especially if you're in pain, to get rid of that pain. It just wears on you. And here we have the principles of the Word of God that will work for us if we just get in there and work them and recognize, first of all, what the truth is. This is the confidence that we have in Him, the free and fearless confidence, the cheerful courage, the boldness, the assurance, the Strong's dictionary says. Fine says the absence of fear in speaking boldly, unreservedness of speech. And you can do that when you're confident. You can do that when you're confident, praise God. If you think, well, I sure hope that this works. Well, we probably started there, but hopefully we're getting to the place where we're becoming confident of the principles of the Word of God. Whether, you know, I'm talking to you this morning about healing, but whatever it happens to be, whatever promise of God is in there, we've got to get to the place where we understand that's God's will, therefore I can be confident when I ask Him, help me in this area, that He will do that. Amen? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. verse 3 and 4. Yeah, the first couple of verses talking about interceding for those that are in authority, which you've already done this morning. 1 Timothy 2, 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. We could spend the whole morning just going over the scriptures that prove the reality of God's will when it comes to healing, but I don't know. You know, you're gonna have to spend some time. If you're not sure about that, listen. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Amen. Find out what the word really says. Me convincing you or anybody convincing me from the outside, when I'm under pressure, I'm going to give up on that. But when I get into the Word of God for myself, and I spend time meditating on these things, then I become convinced that, and I can have the confidence that 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15 talks about. Who desires all men to be saved. And, you know, we've been at this long enough. Most of you who come here regularly know that the word saved also includes the principles of healing. It's not just forgiveness of sins, but the wholeness of man, spirit, soul, and body. So we could say it this way. God our Savior, who desires all men to be healed, who desires all men to be prospered, who desires all men to be at peace, who desires all men to have all the promises of the Word of God in their life. It's God's desire that we have that. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Praise you, Lord. There's this wonderful prayer in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14, that you can pray for yourself. And you can pray for people around you, particularly born-again people. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, Paul said, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and all patience, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. We want to have patience, we don't have long-suffering, but we want to have it with joy. Amen? Some people seem to have some patience and long-suffering, but they don't have it with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Some of these are some of my favorite verses. Giving thanks to the Father because he has qualified us. I would love to receive healing, but I don't know if I'm qualified. Well, you are. Particularly if you're born again. If you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've been made righteous, and therefore you're qualified for all the promises of God, certainly including healing. Which is good to know, because, you know, we know ourselves pretty well. Well, we think we know ourselves pretty well. And so we start thinking about what we have done and haven't done and what we're not doing enough of and what we're doing too much of. And we think, well, I can't possibly be qualified this time. You know, maybe last time I was doing pretty good, but lately I haven't been doing that well. So I can't possibly be qualified for this particular promise. But you are, because it's not based upon what you've been doing or not doing. It's based upon what Jesus has already done. And when you can believe that, you can believe that you are qualified for healing. You're qualified to not have to have the cold or the flu. You're qualified to not have to have your stomach upset all the time. You're qualified to not have to be in pain all the time. You're qualified to not have some hereditary disease or anything like that. You're qualified to live in life, the Zoe kind of life. Praise God. See, it starts with the will of God. It starts with understanding that you are qualified for the promises of God. The word qualified there means this: to make sufficient, to render fit, to enable, to qualify. So you, and really that's almost like a definition of righteousness if you think about it. We've been made sufficient, we've been made fit, righteousness to be made like you're supposed to be. Brought up to be like you're supposed to be, righteous before God. We can say we're righteous, then we can say we're qualified for the promises of God. And it's not bragging on us. It's bragging on Him. It doesn't give me the right to just live any old way I want, because that sin will still kill you. But it does give me the right to come run boldly to the throne of grace and attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I don't know about you, but I do that a lot. We sang about, I love that the line in the song this morning, but drowning in mercy. Said, I'm going to go, man, you want to fall down in and drink deep when you're in the midst of all that. Praise God. Mercy of God. We get what we didn't deserve. We don't get what we did deserve because Jesus took that for us. Qualified. All right, so again, if you've been here for a while, I've gone over these a lot. There are ways to receive, there are biblical ways to receive healing. Seven, probably a lot more than that. And I don't want to take a lot of time with this, but just kind of go over it quickly to remind you that God is going to meet you where you are. When you understand the will of God and you understand that you're qualified, He's going to meet you where you are. Whether you need some help, like we're praying for people this morning, or obviously the best way is to learn, we grow in these things and we learn to just receive it from God, just us and God. Change our hearts. Amen? And I was thinking about this. I mean, you've read the New Testament. You read the Gospels. Think about the different ways that Jesus ministered healing. A lot of them aren't even listed in these seven that I'm going to talk to you about. And besides that, John said, man, if we wrote down everything that Jesus did, there wouldn't be books to contain it. So we have a whole bunch of stuff that happened we don't even know about. But think about what we do know about. In some cases, He just spoke a word. Didn't touch anybody. Didn't even get in the room where the sick person was. Just said, spoke a word, and they believed it. They believed it. They believed it. And they were healed. He sent a couple of them swimming. Sounds like a good way to receive, doesn't it? Go over to the YMCA. If you were saying to do that, that would be the way to go, wouldn't it? Praise God. He spit on some of them. No, thank you, Lord. I'm going back to the swimming. Thank you. Sometimes the cat had to cast some demonic spirits out. One, the leper, he just said, Lord, if you will, and Jesus touched him. And it was taken care of. Laid hands on a lot of them. Raised up people from the dead. And listen, as soon as you start thinking, well, that was Jesus. Well, yeah, He's phenomenal. But with the same anointing. With the same anointing. With the anointing that ran down, remember the Old Testament principle, off the head, down off the beard, and down on the body? He's the head, we're the body. Same anointing on us. All right, so let's think about some of the ways that the New Testament talks about receiving healing. In James chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, praise God. This is the good news that we're talking about this morning, brothers and sisters. Good stuff. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? See, just the way that question is asked. Well, it doesn't have to be. He didn't say, well, if some of you are sick, I guess some of you are going to have to be that way. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer of faith will save sozo, heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Praise God, praise God. Anoint with oil. That's one way to minister and to receive healing. It goes all the way back to early New Testament times. Of course, when we do this anointing with a little dab on your finger. They poured the oil all over, man. You want to be anointed? Be anointed. the oily bird gets the worm or something. I don't know. It worked, praise God. But, you know, and I've heard different ministers talk about it really becomes a point of contact. It's a point to say, all right, I feel that oil. I'm going to release my faith now, and things are going to happen. You know, I think a lot of times I think it was Brother Copeland talked about, they were ministering outside in Texas in the hot sun, and the bottle of oil was sitting in the hot sun. And they put a little oil on somebody, and I feel it, man, I'm feeling it today. Just getting healed all over the place, praise God. Sometimes a little feel is all right, just as long as you get to believe in somewhere as you go along. So anointing with oil, Matthew chapter 18. Verse 19. Jesus speaking, he says, "Can I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize, together make a symphony about anything and everything, whatever they shall ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven." I think recently I've come to an understanding that there really are two avenues here. Because first of all, you got to agree with God. Because if you and I agree, but we're not agreeing with God, that I don't know if we want to get whatever we would agree on anyway. But it starts with agreeing with Him, because you know the next verse goes on to say, "Wherever two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst of them." So you know we want to make sure we're in agreement with Him, and then when you can add to your faith, you can add to your anointing, I guess you could say, by agreeing husband and wife together, have an agreeing partner, and agree together, this healing is done in Jesus' name. There's just something sometimes about knowing that you're not in this by yourself, and I know God's involved with this, the Holy Spirit, the angels, and so on, but there's somebody else that I can pat on the back, or they can pat me, or whatever it happens to be, we can get agreement together, all right? Mark chapter 16. Anointing with oil, power of agreement. Verse 17 and 18, Mark chapter 16. These signs will follow those who believe. Do we have any of those here this morning? Praise God. In My name they'll cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Part of the signs that follow believers. Didn't say, you know, full-time ministers, just believers. So what we have here is a believing believer and a believing sick person, and they come together and they make contact, and again, so it's in a sense it's sort of like the agreement thing, because they're putting their anointing together and believing God, and things are happening, praise God. Amen? It takes believing on both the part of the person who's going to lay hands on someone and the person who's going to have hands laid on them. And somebody will say, well, I had the hands laid on me and nothing happened. Well, did you believe? Crickets chirping. You know, and it's always going to come down to that one way or another. Even if you get under a great anointing of some great minister of God who's had a lot of success, and you might receive something that way, but sooner or later you're going to have to keep hold of it because you believe, based upon what you believe. So laying on of hands is a way to receive. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7 through 11 lists what we call the gifts of the Spirit, or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Each one for the profit of all. And then it lists for us 9 gifts. And I don't want to try to get into all of them, so I just want to, in the middle there, it says, "To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit." And then verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So some people have what we would call a gift of healing, or gifts of healings. It's plural because it manifests in different ways. Certainly Brother Hagin had that. I'm sure you know somebody who's had a manifestation of that temporarily or permanently. These gifts are given. See, the gift of, if I had the gift of healing, it's not given for me, it's given for me to minister to somebody else. And when that gift is in operation, you can have healing manifest without any belief of the person, because it just goes from the minister into them. And again, in the long run, they're going to have to believe somewhere along the way, but they might get healed. They might get healed without really believing themselves. People have been healed and fighting against it even. Diane and I, years ago, we got to go to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. Phenomenal, to get an opportunity to do that, because she would just, we got there, 6 o'clock in the morning or something like that, and waiting outside until they let you in, and then they finally open the doors and let everybody in. And service starts a couple hours later, and we're just about hardly functioning by that time, because we went on a bus most of the night to get there. And then she comes out with the flowing white robes and all that, and didn't preach at all, just things begin to happen. They walked around, they said, check and see if anything's happening with you. And I remember that a couple came up with their daughter, who apparently had come in a wheelchair and wasn't in the wheelchair anymore. And they were talking about it, and they were obviously not Christians from the way they were talking about it. They were so excited it was coming out with expletives and the whole bit there. But you'd be excited too, praise God. Because things were happening in the midst of, obviously there wasn't much belief there, but the gifts were in operation, gifts of healings. Because God wants us to be healed. Now, for us, most of us Christians, we're going to have to learn to, well, one way or another, we're going to have to learn to believe and get our hearts focused in the right direction. But praise God for this manifestation. It's almost like a calling card, Like ringing, Brother Hagin used to call it, ringing the dinner bell. Got something for you. Praise God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Interesting. I mean, think about this. Jesus had to be anointed. Well, that was Jesus, but yeah, God had to anoint him. When things were happening through Jesus, it was God's anointing that was going through Jesus and raising the dead and healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and bringing sight to the blind. The anointing came through Jesus. Otherwise, how could he say, the works that I do, you'll do also and greater, because I go to my Father? Now, go to Acts chapter 19. And verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And it goes on to talk about handkerchiefs and aprons that were taken off of his body, laid on the demon-possessed, laid on the sick, and they were raised up. But notice, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, God worked unusual miracles through Paul. It's the anointing that comes from God that raises people up. But, unusual miracles, my goodness, miracles are pretty good. Unusual miracles came through the Apostle Paul. There are special anointings. There are, you've been around here for a while. There are anointings on certain services. And you think, man, the people, it's frustrating sometimes because the person that really needed that didn't show up, and there was the manifestation of great things. If you can be there, because God's doing good things, praise God. So you need to hang around and be around the anointing. But it's not just in this building, and it's not just with certain people. Unusual miracles with special anointings that come through the power of God, the anointing of God on a person, and through that person, in some cases, through cloths, you know, aprons. One of the translations said about this was sweat rags. Paul was a hard worker, and he'd, you know, wipe the sweat off of his brow, and here, go lay this on somebody. Well, I really want to be healed, so I'll take that. You know, we've a lot of times used hankies. I was reading different instances when this kind of ministry was used. I believe there's one that started with Smith Wigglesworth. And a lady wrote to him. She had heard of it about his ministry. He was in the United States, but didn't catch up with him. He was back in England. She wrote to him and said she had a relative, I think it was a mom, in the mental institution, been there for a long time, could not function at all. And she heard about this anointing being able to go into a cloth and be administered that way. So she sent a hanky over to him, and he prayed over it and got sent back. And she put it on the relative, I can't remember exactly which relative it was, and for 10 days it was pinned on his body or something. And you know, without any manifestation for 10 days, and all of a sudden, they said, as fast as you could snap your finger, his mind was okay. And they released him out of there. Now, I was talking to Diane about this during the week. I was thinking, 10 days. For one thing, most of us wouldn't wait 10 days. But, you know, what I'm seeing over the last 6 months or so, anointing is like energy. And a piece of cloth can become like a battery. So you'd want to stay hooked up to that for a while. When you get these battery chargers, and most of the time, except when you go from car to car, you get these ones you have to hook up for a while, and it has to stay on there for a while because you just put it on and then you're not going to get anything out of it at all. You keep it on there for a while, and the power keeps going in there, and then pretty soon your battery is working like it's supposed to. Amen? So, whether he knew it or not, this relative stayed hooked up, and all of a sudden, bang. I mean, when you've been years and years and years out of your mind, and all of a sudden everything's functioning right, I'll take some of that. Remember Dick Mills say, I'll take some of that, praise God. And it's available to all of us because we're qualified. And that's God's will for our life. Special anointings. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21. Preach myself happy here. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ, notice this is what I have underlined in my notes, and has anointed us, is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The end of verse 21, and has anointed us is God. Our God has anointed us. You are born again. You're anointed. You're a battery, praise God. You may need some charging, but you're a battery. And we also know this, that when you pray in the Spirit, that has a charging effect in itself. According to Jude, verse 20, praying in the Holy Ghost, charging ourselves, edifying ourselves, building ourselves up. Praise God. The more charge you got, the better, right? Working for you, I think a good goal to have would be to have more than enough in me so I can minister to somebody else. It's always nice to have something to minister to somebody else. Mark chapter 11. Verse 23. Speaking of Mark, can I have a cough drop, Mark? Another cough drop? Mark chapter 11, verse 23. How many have this already underlined in your Bible? Praise God. The words of Jesus. For surely I say to you that whoever, says to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So we're talking about ways to receive, and one way is to just speak to it and tell it to go. You have no right to be in me. These symptoms have no right to be in me. The flu has no right to abide in my body. So you believe that, and you speak to it, and you believe that the things that you say, come to pass, and you'll have what you say. God has already said some things about it, but we got to say something based upon what we believe. And then the next verse, verse 24, therefore I say to you, what things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Let's put the phrases together so you get the gist of this. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. So, a prayer of faith is I'm praying now. If we go all the way back to our first scripture and say, this is the confidence that we have in him. We ask anything according to his will. I have prayed now, and now I'm going to believe. Not later on I'm going to believe. Not when if I start feeling better, I'm going to believe. But right now, because I prayed, I believe that God heard me. So at this point, I'm releasing my faith. I'm going to believe. And God is working in my life. And healing is working in my life. Speak to it. You pray it. You get the hands laid on you. You use oil. Do what Jesus says. Believe the word of God. And healing will come. Now, Proverbs. There's two more scriptures and we'll finish up here. Proverbs chapter 4. Starting in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Proverbs 4:20. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Zoe, life, and health. The word for health there is where we get the word Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, Lord who heals thee. It's a cure, a medicine. The word is medicine to all our flesh. So putting it in more modern vernacular, here's what we're supposed to do with the word. Pay attention. Listen obediently. Keep it in view. Treasure it. Celebrate it in your heart. And recognize that it's going to be Zoe to you. It's going to be life to you. It's going to be the God kind of life to you. It's going to be cure to you. It's going to be medicine to you. The word of God. Celebrate it in your heart. Another thing that Brother Hagin said a lot was that the word that really works for us is the word that we are excited about, that we celebrate. Not the word that we have to read. And I guess I have to believe that, and I have to obey that. But when you get excited about it, then it begins to work. But the key, and the reason I had us turn here, is it's about the heart. Not about the head. And we're going to have to deal with that. Those heart issues, we're going to have to let God deal with the heart issues, because if you believe one thing in your head and something else in your heart, that's called stress. And it'll kill you. So you got to get that, you got to get things straightened up in your heart. And this is telling us some of the ways to do that. Receive the word. Keep it in front of you. Keep thinking about it. Speaking it to yourself. Obey what you understand to be, even if you don't understand, to be, you recognize to be the word of God. Because verse 23 goes on to say, this New Living Translation, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. guard your heart, because it determines the course of your life. So, I don't know about you, but I've discovered that some of the things that I really thought in my heart were settled the way they were supposed to weren't. I thought that I believed in this on this level, in the heart level, and I only agreed in my mental level. So we stay at it, and we let the Lord work in our heart. We do. Well, one more scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 20. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So anything that has to do with who I used to be before I was born again, before I believed in God, it shows up, needs to be put off. And anything that has to do with the new man of who I am now in Christ, righteous and healed and delivered and so on, I put on. And in the middle of that is be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Just we've got to keep refocusing our mind in the right direction. Your mind, don't you think your mind can be a brat? I'm going to think this, and so we keep pulling it back again. No, you're not. You're going to think in line with the Word of God. You can do those things that Proverbs 4 talked about and change our hearts so that we have heart belief. And when you have heart belief, you have healing and you have deliverance and you have peace. Amen? Let's worship.